Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet Podcast for Saturday the 6th of March 2021. I'm your host John Walker, and with me as always is Andy Vaughan.
Good evening, John.
And Gordo.
Hello.
We are having some network connections, but we'll do as best we can to get through this, right? With his top quality and Gary on the editing skills, man, Gary's going to need to play a blinder with this one. Well,
I believe you missed the word trouble or problems out of that sentence. We're having some network connections. Yeah, yeah, that's how this works, John.
Maybe you just missed that, Andy, because I was speaking and they'd said problems. We've already done this intro, but we'll do it again. We started with saying thank you to Jack Gibson for joining the Patreon. You joined last week just as we were recording, so we missed welcoming you to the Trample Bet Club. Trample Bet Club's £5 a month. Gordo, you did UFC 259 episode on Monday morning?
Yeah, we did that Monday morning. Me and my pal Blair, who's based out in Singapore, a mad fight fan, and went into all the permutations of how he sees each fight going, how we see each fight going, and I'll have them priced up and put on the Patreon for everyone. I'm going to try and keep my words as minimal as possible because it's my internet connection that's the worst now on here. So join the Pan Trample Bet Patreon.
Yep, £5 a month. So there's that UFC episode. Gordo's going to provide an Andy-like cheat sheet. So every week, all of our picks for that week, Andy will provide a cheat sheet on Friday night about 4 p.m. for you, so you do not have to sit with a pen and paper like a fucking pilgrim writing down what we have said on the podcast. You will get it delivered straight to you. £5 a month. You guys are going to be doing some Cheltenham work coming up?
Oh, we'll be all over that. All over Cheltenham. It's my favorite time of the year. So Gordon and I will be all over it. Last year there were daily shows. We're probably going to look to do something very similar.
Andy keeps horse racing Gilet on already. Like he's already part of this.
I am in the zone.
And if you are a Patreon member, you'll be able to see that with early access and the video episode for this, which is always uploaded a day early, which is fantastic considering we're a podcast that comes out late Thursday, early Friday, and is out of date sometimes by Friday night. So you are benefiting from able to listen to our episode, watch our episode, and feedback to us really early. But £5 a month, it really helps us with our hosting costs, our network cost, even though I think we might have to fucking revise if Zoom's the issue, or by God, though, actual broadband internet, because I think it's wired up now. But we did say last week's pick, see if you were a new listener to this podcast, we had a blinder on this.
It went well last week. It went well.
Yeah, we have the John Walker Out campaign is dead for a week at least.
Yeah, 1 week. For 1 week, it is.
My banker, I creamed about this pick. I creamed about this league. The goals in this league are ridiculous. It was Western Sydney Wanderers versus Adelaide on Sunday morning. I took a measly 1-5 goal in the second half. It came in 7 minutes into the second half. There was 3 goals in that second half. And I think I called that out by saying that Western Sydney's previous 3 second halves had 3, 2, and 3. So I'd been very modest with my one goal, and it proved that I was a bit of a bitch on the pitch. I definitely shat it a little bit. I could have been braver, but it came in, and that's all that matters for me. It came in.
My banker also came in. Norwich away at Wickham, 2-0 win for Norwich. I also mentioned the Bayern Cologne game, which was a 5-1 hammering to Bayern, but the odds of that were like 1-6, whereas the one I eventually went for was 4-9, so happy with that.
And I rounded off the banker treble this week with Besiktas. I had taken, they won comfortably 3-0. They actually had they had a goal disallowed by VAR as well in the first half, so they could have been 4-0 up at halftime. Denizlispor were also, they were 3-0. They had a goal chopped off, but it didn't matter. 3-0 win, 1-3.
Gordo, I had you down for a different banker. You took Galatasaray on the podcast. I think you might have suggested that outside the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, I was about to say, Because they didn't appear on any of my slips.
No, Galatasaray did win 2-0, Gordo.
That was Besiktas is this week's pick, so you get a wee bonus early one there.
Are you telling us they're going to win 3-0 this week? Exactly. Like, do you have some sort of almanac here?
Yeah, that's it. I've been leafing through. I went to the wrong page. Apologies, and please do not inform the government. So imagine if I had an almanac and was as shite as I am at charity picks. That'd be I took Galatasaray, who beat Erzurum 2-0.
Yeah, a very good banker treble that came in for us. Really, really confident. I was gutted with my value pick. Not because it didn't come in. It did. Hertha Brugge beat Vaslin Beveren at home 2-0 at 4-5. But I had called this out very confidently, saying I fancied it to be 1-0, which it was up until the last 10 minutes. So yeah. It was really frustrating because I was like, this is a 1-0. Like, this feels like a single goal victory. Really gutted for Hertha Brugge and David Bates because they went out in the cup semi-final to Anderlecht midweek there. But the value bet came in. They're still unbeaten in the league under new management. I think they're a team to kind of stay on the side of if they are playing lower half teams at home.
My value pick, I potentially got a little bit too greedy taking Norgeland at home to Aalborg in the Danish Superliga. Tipped them up at 6-4. I thought that was too big. They actually started pre-kickoff at 2-1, took the lead twice, and eventually drew the game 2-2. Aalborg equalising with a late penalty. It was definitely a penalty. I was watching the game. It was an absolute stonewall penalty. So it was close, and I still think I was on the right side of that with the big odds on offer, but it's a shame it didn't come in.
My value pick for this week was Toulouse. And they did not, which was great. They were 4-5 when they kicked off against Amiens. They won 3-0. I'd much prefer this was a game that I said Toulouse historically had done well in. They don't mind if this had been up a league, would have been paid out even earlier. But with it being League Two, you had to wait to the end of it. So 3-0, Toulouse beat Amiens.
And it was never really in doubt anyway, so I don't think you even needed the early payout for that to be an issue.
Early payout is great though. That's all I really want from things.
my outsider, I was really, really gutted with this, similar to the Hertha Brugge game. It was Oostend versus KV Mechelen. I took a draw in this game. I had said that it was a bit, so it's a third best home team versus the second best away team. And it was 1-0 to Oostend, but they were getting battered for the last 10 minutes. I mean, they'd been outplayed for most of the game. But they were getting battered, and I was just waiting for that flash up at being 1-1. But as these games happen, and as sometimes I call it with over 1.5s, if a team is winning and being battered, you've always got to watch the counter-attack on the other end. A counter-attack out of nothing. They were actually battered. And I think, Andy, you'd actually put 1-1 on the score as well off the back of what I'd said.
Yeah, I took a wee correct score.
I could not believe he didn't concede. I mean, if there's a signal, Jack Henry got player of the week in Belgium.
Yeah, I did see that.
So if there's a signifier to how well Oostend played, it's that their centre half got player of the week in the league. So I was a wee bit gutted, but 2-1. We do not really criticise outsiders here unless they get pumped. Yeah.
My outsider didn't come in either, John. Took Randers away at Odense for the big price at almost 2-1. They lost the game 2-1. In an even game, they had more shots. They had more shots on target. Just one of those games that could go either way. Didn't go my way. Don't mind. 2-1 price tag.
And my outsider also didn't come in, and it was a one-goal affair there. I'd taken Trabzon. I thought Trabzonspor would beat Fenerbahce 1-0. They lost 1-0. So there wasn't really much in it. The goal came in the 76th minute. Interestingly, the stats in the game showed that while Trabzonspor had the same amount of shots on target is a completely different game. So they had 1 versus Fenerbahce's 9. So I think you're probably going to score a goal if you get 9 shots on target versus 1. You've got to be pretty accurate. But yeah, so disappointed there, but close enough that I'm not crushed.
And our charity, which was said before, it's £10. We don't get sponsored by this. It's £10 of our own money. If it comes in the treble, the winnings go to Beats and Cancer Trust. I was in the Bundesliga for the 5:30 Saturday night game. It was Leipzig versus Mönchengladbach. I took both teams to score at 4-6. A very simple bet, nothing too tricky. It was in by I think 44 minutes, I think. No, it was 48. Leipzig scored just after halftime. But I did call out and I sent it on to you and I shared it on our page. If you had been listening, I had said I expected 1, a high-scoring game, and 2, something like Leipzig winning 3-2. So I'm very happy with how that game went perfectly to plan, but it was ridiculous. I think I'd said how dangerous Mönchengladbach looked on the counter against Man City.
Yeah.
And in the first half, they could have been 4 or 5 up on Leipzig. It could have been an absolute demolition, but it was like, it's like watching like a boxer just punch himself out. They looked absolutely shattered when they came out for the second half, and Leipzig just looked full of energy. And I mean, they absolutely battered them in the second half. It was just horrendous one-way traffic, but we just needed both teams to score, and that completed the first leg of three of the charity.
Leg two was in Japan, opening week of the Japanese J-League, which is possibly my favourite league in the entire world. Took the charity spot for me this week. Obviously, being opening day, I didn't want to just fire right in. But this game went exactly how I thought it would. Nagoya away at Avispa Fukuoka. They won 2-1, right? But Nagoya were 2-0 up after 55 minutes. And Avispa got a really late consolation goal inside the last 10 minutes. So it was a 2-1 battering, emphasised by the fact that Avispa had zero shots on target the whole game. So the goal was an own goal, like right at the end. So, yeah, they're not necessarily going to struggle, but they're going to take a few weeks to find their feet in the J-League, having just been newly promoted. And you might get good prices on the better away sides, Nagoya of which being one of them, considering they finished third in last season's J1. So I'll be really looking into Japan this week. I know it's still super early in the season, but that's given me a wee bit of confidence to get them right in about the main picks.
And we actually vetoed one of your picks just because of how late we were doing the recording as well. And you would have also had Kawasaki Frontale winning.
Oh, I would have put Frontale on. And they did indeed win. And they've looked mightily impressive. For some reason, they've played two games in the J-League, even though game week two is this weekend. So I don't know if they've moved a fixture because they'll have a Champions League game later on.
Right.
So they've maybe played like game week four or something already. So they've played two games. They sit top of the table on 6 points. And they look like they're going to be just as good as they were last year.
And I ruined it. And so obviously...
A surprise.
It was teed up... Two legs in already. I'd taken Roma at home to AC Milan. Roma had played midweek. AC Milan had played midweek. Roma had an easy game. AC Milan didn't. They had to fight to the end. Roma lost 2-1. AC Milan went up 1-0. Roma got a goal back and then looked really dangerous because I was watching it on the app and then just conceded to Rebic. And it was then just 30 minutes of nothing happening for them. So really disappointing there because we're teed up for a big one. But none of you said anything about it last week. So, I mean...
Yeah, right. Do you know what this means, right? Do you know what this means? When this happens, and it happens with some regularity, Gordon being the last loser of the charity bet, he will have a fucking odds-on shot for this week. Like something cut price, like just no confidence, get it in. Let's take something at 1-3.
It's actually 1-2 this week.
So. Excellent, excellent. Like a book.
That's brilliant. I was actually saying to one of my mates that supports Man United, I was watching the Roma AC Milan game and I was like, even with the way yous are playing just now, if you can't beat this AC Milan team, there is something really wrong. They went from, like, at one point at the start of the season, they looked like they were flying. Like, they looked really good. It was bad to watch. Like, Kessie's kind of holding that team together in centre mid.
They've just taken him on a big contract as well, I believe.
Kalinoglu went off injured. Ibrahimovic went off injured. Rebic went off injured at the end. You're like, how are they going to survive a Europa League? Like, they're going to fall seriously by the wayside, I think, in Serie A as well. I think they'll start dropping down the table pretty quickly. But yeah, lesson learned. It was just, Gordo, see, to be honest, I think I was messaging you when it went one each. I really fancied them to go on and win three or four.
I was watching the game as well. It was so disappointing that they didn't. Mkhitaryan had a couple of chances that you just think, oh, come on, mate.
Aye.
I get, but yeah, you know, didn't get the win this week, but as Andy said, I'm back with a 1-2 shot this week.
Yeah, so I do feel like that's been unfortunate, Gordo, because I do feel like AC Milan winning that game has been seriously misleading, and I think they're a team that people should look to back against coming up at big headers, and especially Europa League against Man U. They're not a good side. So let's move on to this week's picks. So Saturday, 6th of March, although some of the picks are going to come from Friday night, I believe. I'm going to start with a banker. So unsurprisingly, I'm going to go to the A-League on Saturday morning. It's the Melbourne Derby, Victory versus City. I am going for an easy 1-5, goal in the second half. Melbourne Victory's last five second halves, 5-1-1-2-1. And Melbourne City, since they've come back, it's been 2-1. So guaranteed goals in the second half. Both these teams have averaged like 2.8 goals and 3.1 goals in each of their games, full games. And the majority of the goals are coming in the second half. This is a league that doesn't stop. I keep saying this. Just trust me on this. There will be a goal in the second half of this game. Melbourne City actually really seem to tire at the end of games. Like, that's a couple of games I've watched in a row of them. Whereas Victory, on the other hand, have lost games late on, but they've been scoring in the second half. They came back from 3-1 down recently against Western United, pulled it back to 3-3 and then conceded in the 96th minute to lose 4-3. And it was probably the best game I've ever watched of football. Like, it was actually tremendous.
High praise.
It was amazing. The Western United were down to 10 men. It went 3-1, 3-2, 3-3. And then Western United, whilst Melbourne Victory were just ploughing forward with the extra man, just hit them on the counter on the 94th minute of a 5-minute added on game. And everyone's celebrating down at the corner, the manager and everything on top of. I was like, this league is amazing. And I think I'd re-backed that game about four times for another goal after 70 minutes. And it came in every time. I was like, oh my God, this is glorious. So to recap, one goal in that game. That's all I'm asking for in the second half. One goal, Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City in the second half at 1-5.
My banker's not far away geographically. I'm in Japan in the J1 League. Saturday at 5 a.m, so a nice early start, UK time. Vigalta Sendai against last season's champions Kawasaki Frontale. New season, I've already seen enough of Kawasaki to trust them away at Vigalta Sendai. Sendai drew their first game away at Hiroshima, but you can't really read much into that game because it was just nuts. Vigalta got a man sent off in the first half, played the whole game with like 10 men, stole an equaliser in stoppage time when Hiroshima should have buried them. This will be a very, very different game to that. Kawasaki have played two league games. They've won them both. 2-0 at home to the Yokohama F Marinos, then a big 3-2 win at home to Seretse Osaka, where they came from behind twice. Now, Kawasaki, followers of the podcast, will know this team quite well from last year. They don't stress if they go behind. They just rely on their quality to get back in the game and then to push on and win. And they usually get the job done anyway, even if they go one or two goals down. I don't particularly see this game going that way, but I definitely see a Kawasaki Frontale win at odds of 1-3.
I like it, but obviously.
Big on the Kawasaki Frontale train.
Always here.
Left the station so quickly, they've already played two games. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. I know.
And I'll round off, unsurprisingly this week, with Besiktas. who are playing against Gaziantep in this instance. Gaziantep are on a bit of a slide. They've done quite well. Peter Glover had highlighted a couple of weeks ago that they had a player who kept scoring goals for them and he was a good guy to back. That's not happening anymore. And they've really started to slide away from home. They haven't scored a goal in the last four games away from home. They're playing against a Besiktas team who are second in the league. They've won four of the last five home games. The only one they didn't win was against Trabzonspor. I don't think I really need to say much more than that. They're 4-11, and Besiktas are comfortably beating teams at the moment now. So that's where my banker lies this week.
Yeah, I think your accidental prediction of 3-0 is probably a good shout, man.
Probably should back that.
That's not bad for a correct score.
My value pick is in Bundesliga, and it is on Friday night, so you better get on this quickly. It's Schalke versus Mainz. I'm going for the away team Mainz to win at 12-11. Schalke are awful, but Mainz are only a position above them, 8 points ahead of them. Mainz, however, have recently beat Leipzig and drew with Dortmund, and both of them in the last 3 weeks have beat Schalke 4-0 and 3-0. Just using that comparison alone, Mainz, remember, also, like, for an hour pushed Bayern very close.
Oh, to the hilt, yeah, definitely.
And then just in the last 20 minutes, Bayern just showed their class and pummeled them and ended up winning 5-2. But that does not reflect that game. Mainz were 2-0 up, looking very, very comfortable, and then just a Bayern onslaught, which happens quite a lot in Bundesliga games. But it's the wins over Leipzig and the draw away to Dortmund that's really thrown me on this, where I'm going, they've got so much more to offer. Schalke have just lost 4-0 to Dortmund and 5-1 away to Frankfurt. They are I don't think
they sacked their entire management squad
again. That's the third time they've changed management.
It's a record now. It's ridiculous the amount of permanent head coaches they've had in such a short space of time.
So yeah, I'm going the away side Mainz just because of results against similar teams and the fact that Schalke are almost just accepting they're in Bundesliga 2, right? That's what's happening now. So yeah, Mainz to win away at 12-11, I think it's really badly priced. I'm all over that.
I'm back in Japan for my value pick Saturday, 5 a.m. again in the J-League. Tokushima Vortis versus Vissel Kobe, and I'll take the away side at quite big odds of 11-10 here. Tokushima are one of the newly promoted teams. The step up from J2 to J1 league is substantial. They managed an opening day draw with Oita, but Oita are going to struggle this year. In fact, Kobe played Oita midweek in the cup and picked up a dominant 3-1 win against them, despite going a goal down very early on in 10 minutes. So just the fact they've both played the same opposition in the last week gives me a wee bit more confidence. The fact that Kobe are one of these sort of, they're not brilliant in recent years, but they're not bad. They're sort of mid-table, third quartile. And I think they'll have enough to beat the new boys to the division here. And odds of better than even money is definitely enough for me to see value in it. So Kobe to win away from home at Tokushima, odds of 11-10.
That was the thing that was really glaring to me, Andy, was the results against Wita. That was like the thing that really threw me. I was like, yeah, that's a really fucking strong recent comparison to back why are you getting more than evens for this side to win when the overwhelming evidence of two games is showing that they don't compare. Like it really seems like a really good odds and a really fucking favourable pick as well. You could have ended up, see with my Friday night game and our two Saturdays with Australia and Japan, then they'll have a fucking fourfold that you can retire on.
A nice wee fourfold that's all done before Saturday 3 p.m.
Before you wake up, just like set your
alarm. Certainly before I wake up.
And I'll add another one to add fuel to this fire. In the we're going for picks that are going to be over before 3 o'clock on Saturday. This is a pick I kind of want to discuss. It's Karlsruhe versus St. Pauli, and I'm taking St. Pauli away from home at 11-5 here. And they're in the value column because I can't really see why they're 11-5. Now, St. Pauli have won their last five games in the spin, including beating Hamburg, Darmstadt, Nuremberg, Sandhausen and Heidenheim. Karlsruhe are not beating these teams. It's the same teams they're playing. So they recently lost 1-0 to Nuremberg. Fair enough, they've got a win against Sandhausen in there, 3-2. They drew 0-0 with Jan Regensburg. Karlsruhe are all right at home, but in their last five games, they've dropped points. St. Pauli haven't when they've been playing in their last five overall games, and they're scoring lots of goals to do it. I just don't really see why 11-5 for this team's fair, and that's why I've got them in the value column here. They're the same price as my outsider, but I just think that this is incredible value in this spot. So I'm going to be taking St. Pauli here. Karlsruhe are not a bad team. This is why they're priced at that. But they're in fifth. They're in fifth in the Bundesliga too, which is infamously tight throughout the whole year. And St. Pauli are in 11th, but on 39 points. Karlsruhe are in fifth on 31 points, and Karlsruhe are in fifth and 39. So there's 8 points between them. There's not much going between these teams. They've scored the same amount of goals. St. Pauli have conceded 10 more, but that can happen at any point during that thing. Scoring goals are concerned about here. They haven't conceded that much more. So I'm taking them at 11-5 here. I welcome discussion on this. Andy, I know you bet in this league quite a bit.
I would probably not bet on this game, but I certainly wouldn't bet on Karlsruhe at odds of even money. Like, that's mental.
Yeah.
Like, the fact they're an even money home favourite is nuts, considering St. Pauli's form. So if someone said you must put a bet in this game, I'd definitely go with what you've done. So
good.
Yeah. And on my side, it's the goals. Like, St. Pauli have had to score 2, 3, and 4 to win in those five-game pass. And Karlsruhe don't concede a lot of goals. That's the issue. At home, they concede less than a goal a game. And I would be inclined to be looking at the draw in this game, because I think St. Pauli are the better side, but I just I don't know. I feel like just like a 1-1 chance draw.
The double chance is 7-11. So it's
that's good value.
It's not terribly far away. So if you fancy a slightly more conservative bet in there, you can have a look at the draw away.
That's 7-11. Although it's not massive odds, that's good value for me because I can't see Carl Russell winning this game. But I maybe can't see St. Pauli winning either. I'm really leaning towards a draw in this game. I think this is a 1-1 draw.
If it was
this is a game I'd just avoid. I just think it's too perilous. Which means in situations like that, I'll just pick the one with the bigger odds.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go with perilous Pauli this week. And we're going for 11-5 here on my price. But you can take it as draw away if you fancy a slightly more safe bet.
Yeah. For my outsider, I'm going to the SPL on Saturday at 3 p.m. I'm going for Ross County versus Kilmarnock, and I'm taking the home side, Ross County, at 13-8. Don't know why Kilmarnock are priced at 11-8. Don't know why they're the favourites in this game. This is very much a bet against Kilmarnock and dismissing Ross County's overall form and just looking to what I've seen in the Celtic game. Kilmarnock have lost the last 5 away games, scoring 0 goals in those games. Kilmarnock have failed to score in 11 of their 16 away games this season. That's like a fucking huge problem. If you're not scoring goals, teams only need a single goal to beat you away from home, essentially. Ross County's last home game, they beat Celtic at home. They got pummeled for that game, were able to sit in, be dogged, and hit people on the counter and get set plays. I think with a team like Kilmarnock who'll sit in, it'll allow John Hughes, for those who don't know John Hughes, no matter which team he's in charge of, will try and play football. And if a team sits back and lets you do that, you're just playing into his hands to actually have a really good performance. And the way Kilmarnock play, they will sit in. That is what they'll do. They'll try and sit in and hit somebody on the counter. I really think Ross County will have way too much for this side. And this is a Kilmarnock side that I feel like have peaked and ran their course. And
they're bad.
They're not good at all.
Well, Andy, you would have watched the game. How was the game against Dundee United?
Bad. It was just a bad game.
Right. For me,
Dundee United aren't good, so I wouldn't necessarily draw any conclusions or any comparisons about that. Kilmarnock's record speaks for itself, and you don't lose that many games in a row by being decent.
Yep.
I like the pick a lot.
It stands out to me. I don't know why they're the outsider. The home side, Ross County, I think they're winning this 2-0 as well. I think it's a game where John Hughes is going to get all his messages right. It's going to look good. The team are going to play well, and they'll get their goals. Kilmarnock, I just think are on an absolute slide. So, Ross County on Saturday afternoon at home to Kilmarnock at 13-8.
My outsider, Saturday, 6 a.m, so a wee bit later than the previous two, in the Japanese J1 League again. Sagan Tosu versus the Urawa Red Diamonds. These teams will be pretty equally matched this year, in my opinion. Urawa probably finishing a couple of places above them, above Sagan in the table come season end. But Sagan Tosu's last 5 home matches have been 4 draws and a 1-0 loss. Sagan Tosu started this campaign with a 1-0 away win at Shonan. Urawa played out a 1-1 draw with Tokyo. They then had another draw midweek in the cup away at Shonan. So Sagan Tosu's games always seem to be tight. Urawa games from last year, we followed them. They appeared infuriating because they would lose by 1 goal, win by 1 goal. You couldn't really predict them. I like the big price on a draw here as an outsider at 12-5. The head-to-head between the two of them going back to 2019, they've played 4 times. 2 have been draws. The other 2 were both won by the Red Diamonds, but only by the 1 goal. So I see another tight game. Could go either way, but the odds of 12-5 for the draw are big. And I think that will happen about 50% of the time.
Yeah, I love this pick. I think this is the best pick of the week. Of the high odds. I fucking, honestly, it was the 4 home draws out of 5 and the single goal late on as well. Yeah. By the way, it came in like the 85th minute. This is a team who I don't think have enough to go forward and attack teams and know how to break them down. And I also don't think, as a result of that, I don't think they leave gaps at the back. I think this is such a good spot. This seems a draw every day of the week. I think we've had a couple of draws like this where we've called them out and we've all kind of agreed and went, this looks like a nailed on
draw, isn't it?
Yeah. I really like this.
Great pick, Andy. Thanks. A really good one. I'm always a fan of a draw, and I'll keep that draw train going for Cadiz versus Eibar. This is on Saturday night. This is at 5:30. These teams are awful. is my opening gambit as an argument for this. Both have taken really small amount of points in the last five games. Cadiz have taken 1 point. Eibar have taken two. Cadiz got their point against Barcelona, but Barcelona, they were dogged in that game. And, you know, in other games where they've played against big teams, they've tried to be dogged and got pumped. So they lost to Atletico Madrid 4-2. They lost to Real Sociedad 4-1. They lost to Atletico Bilbao 4-0. Eibar aren't much better. They're drawing with teams around about them all the time. Eibar drew with the last game with Huesca. They drew with Valladolid. They lost 1-0 to Elche, who are down there as well. This game looks like both would be happy with a point from it because they're both above the relegation zone. It continues their momentum, you know, towards the outside. It's not getting relegated this year. It just looks like a draw to me. They're both rubbish. They'd both be happy with specifically a one each draw. And that's what I'm taking in this instance here. I called a similar game like this on Andy's Coupon midweek.
You did.
Where I went, by the way, Huddersfield are going to draw that game 1-0. Yeah. Didn't back it.
1-1.
Yep.
Can't draw 1-0.
Sorry, draw it 1-1. And they did. I didn't back it because I'm a bit of a twat sometimes. It was 5-1 I missed out on. But I'm back here with a 6-1, one each draw, Cadiz versus Eibar, Saturday night.
This is like one of those ones, Gordo, whereby, like, see if it was physically possible, I think both teams could lose this game.
Both teams to lose.
Like, I'm looking at the results.
That's how you get a 1-0 draw.
And I'm looking at the results, Gordo, and it's just fucking red.
Oh, it's awful.
It's just red. The only green is, like, Eibar beating La Rosas, which must have been in...
And I looked up, they're in Spanish is Division 5. They're like the Teresa C. This is my pick.
Yeah, wow. I like the draw just in this, the way I can't see.
Yeah.
It's less of me thinking it's going to be a draw, it's more of me just not seeing how a team's going to win.
There's no winners, yes.
Yeah. Move on to the charity bet. £10 of our own money in the treble. If it comes in, it goes to Beats and Cantor Trust. I am in the A-League on Saturday morning. Western United versus Western Sydney Wanderers. I am going over 1.5 goals in the second half. You're getting that at odds of 5-6. So their average goals per game, not just second half, you've got Western United, the home side, are averaging 4.16 goals in their games involved. Western Sydney Wanderers, 2.6. But in the second half, more importantly, you're at 3.6 and 2.4. So both of them overall for the second halves are well bypassing the 1.5. Really need two goals. You're getting that. But some of Western United's second halves have been wild, right? Now, there is a zero in there. There is a zero. There's a game.
Did
that
you
won.
Back them in that instance?
No, there was Brisbane Roar both times.
All right, okay.
The zero was a 3-2 game, but all goals were in the first half.
All right, okay.
But if I look at the last five from the most recent, it's 5 goals in the second half, 3 goals in the second half, 2 goals in the second half, 0, and then 8. One of their games this season had 8 goals in the second half against Perth Glory, a game that finished 5-4 and was 1-0 up until the 42nd minute. This league is insane.
Wow. Yeah.
Over 1.5 goals, just 2. Western Sydney I've been watching a lot of. They definitely come into games late on. They definitely concede when they're going for goals. So no matter what the result is, you can always expect them to either get caught in the counter or get a goal back. This is how this league runs. I'm very confident in this pick. I think this is a great pick. I think 5-6 is way too high. It's something I've been cashing in on in play, regardless of result, as an extra 2 goals in the second half. And it's been coming in, like, I think about 9 times out of 10 last weekend it came in. So keep an eye on this league. We're going to keep running about it, but that's my bet, is the Western Sydney, Western United game. Get on that.
What's the price?
5-6. Just under nice. Evens.
That's spicy.
Very good.
My charity pick is on Friday afternoon. So this is an early start in the German second division, the Bundesliga 2. Paderborn versus Darmstadt, and I'll take a home win for Paderborn at what I think is brilliant price of even money. It boils down to Paderborn being decent at home and Darmstadt being very much less than decent away. So Paderborn are currently 10th in the league on 31 points, Darmstadt 14th on 25 points. It's only 4 points above the relegation zone. But Paderborn's last 10 home matches have been 6 wins, 3 draws, only the 1 loss. Darmstadt haven't won away from home in their last 5 games, 3 losses and 2 draws. The teams have already played each other earlier in the season. So at Darmstadt, and Paderborn won that 4-0. away from home. So let's see what they can do at home. It should be an easier task. I think the even money's a great price.
I think that the only reason that normally this would not be, wouldn't be anywhere near evens, I don't think. I think the only thing you're getting is there's a whole load of 1-0 victories at home for Paderborn in that list. And I think that's the only thing that's giving you these odds is if a team score against them, they're probably not winning the game.
Well, maybe against Darmstadt, because Darmstadt are pretty bad.
Yeah.
I would be looking at, like, what I'd also be having a wee sneaky look at 1-0 in that game as well for Paderborn.
Yeah. I'm always happy taking a correct score on a recommendation. That's irrespective of who or when. So yeah, I'll round off the charity treble, hopefully with a win, since I'll definitely be backing it this week as well, even though I put it on last week because I killed it. I bring to you the Danish First Division, and this is Skive versus Viborg, and it is top versus bottom. So it is Viborg on 19 games played, 47 points, versus bottom of the league, Skive, 19 games played, 10 points. Since resumption, so they take a break over the winter, Viborg have won all three of their games. Skive have won one of them, and that was against Kolding, who are down there with them. They got an early goal in that game. They're not very good. I don't think they're going to have enough to be able to keep Viborg out here. I'm taking Viborg at this point at the spicy, spicy odds of 1-2, as very well predicted by Andy. I hopefully will round off the charity treble. And if you take an average of my last 2 weeks' odds, they round out.
When's that game, Gordon? Well,
that's tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So starting it early.
When is that? When is that game? Will that be the?
That'll be the second game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be the second game.
So it'll be me we're sitting waiting on.
Yep.
To deliver. Hopefully we're waiting on me. I'll be more than happy. I'll be super secure in that. Like, I'll be very, all about those three games, my one is the one I am so comfortable on, because that league is just crazy. Like, people
go fest.
Yeah, I think I could get a game at centre half in that league. Like, you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, teams are there's eight goals going in the second half. Like, how bad are they?
It's nice that Ziggy Gordon's definitely going to bar you after this. Like, but yeah, so that's my pick. That's what I bring this week.
So that's the charity treble. And we've already mentioned the Patreon. The other big thing is the Facebook group. If you go to Facebook and search Trample Bet Podcast, it's a private group. We will let you in as long as you don't behave like an asshole. Don't come in and promote betting companies or betting links and stuff. We are there to discuss upcoming bets. That's what we want to talk about. If you have seen something the way we do, we've got loads of great people in there that contribute on ice hockey, on basketball, on rugby. There'll be people, when we get to Cheltenham, people have already started tweeting about it, already commenting on it.
Already, yep.
Get people that do WWE previews for main events. It is filled with excellent people. I'm honestly, there's so much content there. I'm actually getting fed up with saying this. I go in the morning and then, like, my Facebook seems to only alert me late on. So I'll go in the morning and it'll be like, oh, James has posted, and I'll go on and go, oh, I wonder how Norwich and Swansea got on. They were like even money in 2-1. And I've gone and go, I think Swansea scored in the last minute, to be fair, last night. But it came in.
They did.
And I was like,
that was brilliant.
I was like, I didn't get notified about that until this morning. It said he'd commented. I was like, so.
Facebook.
Yeah, if you keep an eye on it, it's just fantastic. But like we said, it's really for a community to come together and share bets. Try and find out where they see, because we kind of cover everything. Like, I'm guilty of it. I will probably cover Australia on most of my picks if I can. Andy's the Japanese guy, but there's so many people that we have so much knowledge on so many different places. It's a really good group. So Facebook, Trample Bet Podcast, it's a private group, but we will admit you, just don't behave like an arsehole. That was the podcast. Have a good weekend.
Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet Podcast is produced by John Walker and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.